Last Sunday, we began a new series which we titled Contend. Were you blessed? Betting change, preserving destiny. And our anchor text was Jude 1 verse 3 and Deuteronomy 2 verse 24. But I'm just going to open Jude 1 verse 3 because of our time. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. Tell you about earnestly contend. And I told you the Greek word is epagonizomai. I like the Greek because it gives me the stees, the right stees for this word. Are you with me? And we said to contend means to earnestly strive for something. It means to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure that something is done. And we said, why do we contend? We said we contend to bet a change. We said we contend to fulfill your divine destiny. We contend to preserve the treasures of the past. And we contend to preserve the future of those connected to you. Praise the Lord. Then during the midweek service, we're talking about favor. Contending for your spiritual life. Praise the Lord. But today I want to share something with you which I've called, I believe God. Say after me, I believe God. Contending with prophecy. These are sermons that you will need for a very long time. For a very, very long time in your life, you will need this teaching. Acts chapter 27 from verse 22. We're all going to be reading from verse 22 to 25. And no matter how young you are here, listening to me, you will need this teaching. In fact, the earlier you get it, the better. Are you getting me? By the grace of God, there are people who have been privileged to mentor for 10 years, 15 years. So I know what it's like when I disciple somebody for a long time and see the results. Are you with me? I know what it's like. So let's begin. Acts 27 verse 22. Paul was speaking. Acts 27 verse 22. 1, 2, 3, go. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 24. Saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, verse 25, 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Hey, kapato kumaya. Everybody read it again. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Say after me, I believe God. I believe God. Say it again. I believe God. It says, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Ah, my God. Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome. He was going to see Caesar. Because at some point when he was arrested, he said, I appeal to Caesar. And they were carrying him to meet the emperor. Praise the Lord. And on his way, on the ship, at some point, they had a challenge. And there was a turbulence on the ship. And this turbulence was so serious that for 14 days and 14 nights, they did not see the sun, they did not see the moon, they did not see the star. Are you with me? Think about that. 14 days. What will you say? Wouldn't you say it's the end of the world? The storm was called Euroclydon. For 14 days. And at some point, actually, Paul warned them about that storm. Before they lose their ship from Crete, Paul warned them that they should not go, but they said, we must go. And after a while, he said, you guys should have listened to me. But he said, no, no problem. Even if you don't listen, an angel of the Lord appeared to me and said, Paul, you must appear before Caesar. Then he said, I believe God. So as it were, the angel of the Lord told Paul, you will get to the finish line. You will get to the end. And you can, as it were, say what the angel told Paul or what the angel of God told Paul or what God told Paul was a prophecy. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is an inspired revelation or declaration about the future. Prophecy is an inspired revelation or declaration about the future. So why do we need prophecy? Today will be a little long. Just bear with me. Today is important. Why do we need prophecy? Because without prophecy, you won't even know what to hope for. You won't even know what to believe for. And you will not even know what to prepare for. So let me start again. What is prophecy? Prophecy is an inspired revelation or declaration of the future. And without prophecy, you won't even know what to hope for. You won't know what to believe for. And you won't know what to prepare for. Prophecy gives you a glimpse into the future. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. When God wants to kickstart your destiny, he begins with prophecy. What I'm sharing with you, you may save the next 30 years of your life. With what I'm sharing with you. Because it has saved me. It saved me. There are many people that take steps. You ask them, don't they know there is prophecy over your life? You know, like last week Sunday, I said, there are some of you. Your life is to fulfill the prayer somebody prayed 100 years ago. Some of you, your life is to fulfill some prayers that your grandparents prayed. And prayed and they thought that God did not answer. You just see somebody say, I'm tired of life. You drop into 10 million bridge. There is prophecy. There is prophecy. So that prophecy will end like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some things that God failed. See, the project that God was trying to do with some of your parents that did not find full manifestation, God now transferred it to you. You now say you are tired of life. You just went and hanged yourself. There is prophecy. Prophecy. So that prophecy will end like that. No now. Say your neighbor, no now. When God wants to start with a man, he begins with prophecy. So God wants to begin with Abraham. The Bible says, now the Lord had told Abraham, get out of your father's house, out of thy kindred, unto a land I will show you. And then God says, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. Abraham was just there. Do you know what it means? A man is 75. 75 is just beginning life, and God still comes and says, I have a prophecy for you. He had married, no child. But God told him, if you can number the stars, then you can number your children. That's when God wants to start, he will begin with prophecy. And many of you, God has begun with you like that. You were just a normal child, then you had a dream. You said, ah, what does this dream mean? Or you're on the road walking one day and somebody just walks up to you and says, you are a special child. And before you know what's happening, you began to see yourself differently. What God did was, he was trying to show you prophecy, a glimpse of the future, visions of possibilities. I'm not trying to sound deep. I know what I'm saying. You see a mother, she's pregnant with children. To her, she just wants to take care of her children. Then God shows her, I see this is your child. He will be a king. You see this one? I've poured oil on him. She does not understand, but God has started prophecy. Are you getting me? Some of you, you just see yourself preaching. You just see yourself ministering somewhere. You're like, what does this mean? Prophecy. Some of you, you went for a church program. The pastor was praying for everybody. When he got to you, he laid hands on you and said, ah, this one is different. They laid hands on you. Ah, anywhere you go, they will lay hands on you and say, God wants to do something in your life. You are wondering, the way my life is safe, how does God want to do something with this life? You know why God is doing all those things? He's giving you glimpses of the future. visions of what can happen. Prophecy. For some of you, you may not even be, you may not be so deep. All I want, Lord, my career. I want to go to school. God, I just want a job. God, I just want to get married. God, you may not be so spooky, but even for that, God has a prophetic word. Praise the Lord. But you see, the word of God is even a prophetic book. So for that thing you are trusting God for, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Do you know what that means? No matter what you want to ask God, it is not too much. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That means there is nothing you want to ask God that will be too much for him. He's able to do more than what your mind can imagine. The biggest thing your mind can imagine is still too small for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh God, I'm just in this agege. Which day will I ever, you know, in Abuja, when we first moved from Wuse, when we moved from Wuse to Central Business District, somebody that came for service, he said, all my days in this Abuja, I've been in Kabusa. Kabusa is a part of Abuja, but inside the Kabusa, there's a place called Kabusa Village. And the guy was telling me, all my life I've been in Kabusa Village, I never knew that there was a place like this in this Abuja. He said, if you told anybody in his compound that I'm going to Central Area, they'll say, to see who? Who are you? Who are you? And when he was talking, I told him, it has changed. You are just here looking at yourself. Sometimes in your mind, you know some things that when you think about yourself and think about those things, it's as if your mind just slaps. No, it's not for you. Not for you. Who knows what I'm talking about? Just those, not for you. Not for you. But God is saying, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Are you hearing me? So why do you need this prophecy? Because first of all, without prophecy, you won't even align yourself. You won't prepare yourself. Can you imagine Joseph? Joseph was just a normal guy. Then he dreamt. You see, that's how God starts with us. Sometimes, maybe you are here even saying, I've not had a dream, nothing. You know what God does? Even if you have not had a dream or a vision or nobody has told you anything special, God can bring you around somebody and you look at that person and you say, this person looks like what I'm supposed to be doing. Has that happened before? You see something and you see, this thing looks like what my future should look like. You know what is happening? God is giving you a glimpse of the future. It's called prophecy. Say after me, prophecy. Can you say after me, I believe God? And many times, you will look at where you are and compare to where you ought to be. And the disparity is so far. And so God will be hammering prophecy for you. For one major thing, to align yourself. Number two, to give you faith. Please listen to me. Am I talking to you? To align yourself. Luke chapter 1 verse 45, he says, and blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Say after me, there shall be a performance. I believe God. For alignment, number two, prophecy bets faith. Prophecy bets faith. Prophecy bets faith. You know, somebody say, if God had known that it will happen, why is he still telling us? Let it just happen now. No. If God does not tell you, many times you can know what is yours but ignore it. Something that is yours can be in front of you, but if you are not told it's your own, you ignore. Are you following me? So you need to be told. My God. I remember one time I bought some snacks for my wife. In my mind, I had told her that I belonged to her. I just kept it on the table. So later in the evening, I came to her. This thing is your own. I'm like, why have you not eaten it? She was like, was it for me? Then it was as if the Lord was ministering to me. He said, that's how it is. If I don't tell you what is yours, it will not matter what is yours. If you are not told, if there is no prophecy, you will not even know. You can be in front of a door that belongs to you. Hey, God. And you will walk away. Chapter 11. You will discover that Abraham was not the first person that God talked to. God talked to his father first. But the father was told to go to Canaan. But the father got to a place called Haran and died there and stopped there. Because, see, if you forget the prophecy, you will stop contending. You will not know what to hold on to. You will stop contending. You will settle where you're supposed to begin. Are you with me? For instance, as a young minister, I told you my story. I was an engineer. And the Lord was calling me, leave everything and start ministry. One day, I was working in an engineering firm. I was coming back. You know that story a lot. And a man slapped me and said, you, God has told you to start a church. God has told you to start a ministry. You said, no, you want to be an engineer. He said, I've told you. God has told you. And I knew at that time that God has told me. So I went to start seeking God. One day, as I was praying, a man came to our compound and looked at me and said, oh, man of God. So, because I had not told anybody anything, so I was wondering, who is this? He just said, man of God. He said, I'm seeing too many nations. So, is that without, I didn't ask you anything. He started talking. So he started talking. He said, you've not seen anything. He said, I see America. I see Asia. He was talking. At the point I was tired, I said, sir, can I go inside? He said, no. By false prophecy, this man started talking. He talked. He said like this. He said like that. Now, new breed has started. We have done 5 years in ministry. After our 50th anniversary, I know different pastors that called me and say, young pastor, 5 years in ministry, you have a branch in Porta, in Abuja, you have in Lagos, you want to do something in Lekki, you will have speed. See, he said, if I was you, he said, if I were you, I would just relax. Relax. When they told me, Asia. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. No. I can look at the numbers in New Breed and relax and say, we have made progress. That's not what the prophecy said. Are you guys what I'm saying? That is not what the prophecy said. If you don't have prophecy, you will rest when you're supposed to keep on running. So after me, I believe God. I was in Canaan land. One day, I went to see my mentor. And he's still my mentor. Then, this is how many years ago? Almost 15 years ago. I went to see him just to greet him and give him a seed. After giving him the seed, he looked at me. He said, the Lord told me something to tell you. He said, all you saw in this Canaan land, God has given you times 7. That is prophecy. That is prophecy. If I don't remember that prophecy, I will be clapping when we are still starting. Prophecy bets faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have not seen it manifest, but all you have was the spoken word. That word is substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And remember Romans 10 verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will have substance. Are you with me? When you hear. So the word of God spoken to you, what God has said about your life is substance. The Lord told me, you will raise billionaires. He told me. He said, and the least of thee shall be the repairer of the broken edges. He told me. Praise the Lord. He told me, you will pastor kings, president and governors of this country, you will pastor them. President and governors of nations, you will pastor them. Captains of industry, you will pastor them. You know what I'm doing? I'm also telling you prophecy. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 35 to 38. Listen, the prophetic word is like an anchor. You hold on to it. It is like a substance you hold on to. Hebrews 10 verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. Can you read the 1 to 3 go? Which had great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. There, verse 38, it says, 1 to 3 go. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Say after me, I am not of them that draw back. If I read verse 39. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. Glory! Glory. Say after me, I will not draw back. Have you ever seen someone where you look at the person, you know that this person could be more. But the person just settled. Has it happened to you before? You meet, you just go somewhere and within you, you just like, this person is supposed to be more than this. This person is supposed to be more than this. When you, let me tell you something. The reason why prophecy is important is if you give up in your heart, it will eventually manifest in your life. Wherever you stop inside is where you will stop outside. If your heart stops desiring growth, you will stop growing. I am telling you. Say after I believe the word of God. And you see, there is something I can call a faith cycle. Every Christian will go through what is called the faith cycle. The faith cycle begins with the word of God and ends with the manifestation of the word of God. But in between when the word of God is spoken and when there is manifestation, there is delay. And that time, when there is delay, sometimes the storm can be so strong, it may even distract you from the promise. And at the point you start asking, are you sure what God said is true? At some point, all you'll be left with is what God said to you. And will you believe it? Pastor, when will I get married? What has God said to you? Will you believe it? Pastor, when will this thing change? My family, when will this thing change? When will this thing change? You will learn to talk like Paul. I believe God. For it shall be even as it was told me. So now, quickly, how do we contend with prophecy? I'll give you a general answer and I'll give you a specific answer. Let me tell you something. Anybody that fulfills God's plan for their life learns to contend. I mean, anybody. Last week we said you don't get into your future by walking but by stretching. Anybody that became anything, they had to learn to hold on to what God has said. Imagine you were Joseph. After all those dreams, you ended up in the prison. By the time you are in the prison, all you'll be left with is your dreams and if you still believe it. Do you know that it was because of Joseph's dream and dream interpretation that he left that prison? Because that morning, two of his friends in the prison, one looked at him and said, or he looked at them and said, you are looking down. People are not smiling. What's going on? They said, we had a dream. Ah. Imagine you were Joseph and you remembered all the dreams. Yeah, somebody just said, we had a dream. Say, now dream, bring me here. I beg. I don't want your dream. Anything dream, just keep dream. I beg. I don't want here. He said, can we share? No. Some people say, please. Like some people, the kind of breakup they've had there. It was so strong like this. If you want to annoy them, give them a wedding card. Once they... Please, I beg. No spoil the atmosphere. Let's be cool here, please. Let's be fine. No problem. I know ministers who they face so much hardship in ministry. when they hear mini before the tree itself, they will cut it down. They don't want to hear. But imagine Joseph, in spite of everything, he said, he looked at his friends. He said, what's the problem? They said, we had a dream. He said, okay, tell me your dreams. And they were telling him, inspiration still came in the prison. Ah! He said, your dream means this. Your dream means that. And he still ministered to them. It was one of them that remembered him after 2 years. Are you following what I'm saying? So how do you condemn the prophecy? 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 18. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I know some of you are wondering, what are you talking about contending with prophecy? Let me tell you something. The prophecy on your life has determined the kind of attacks you receive. Joseph was sent out of his father's house because of his dreams. The brothers heard the dreams and they sent him away. The prophecy on your life determines the kind of attack you are receiving. If you are receiving plenty attacks, it's because the prophecy over your life is heavy. Look at Jesus. The Messiah is coming from Beth. Wise men from the east, they saw a star. Then Herod inquired, please tell us where you found the star and let us trace it. Let me come and worship him. Whereas he was coming to kill the child. Maybe you are not serious enough with your life because you don't know the prophecy over your life. Look at Timothy. Timothy actually was the grandson of a woman called Lois. Lois gave birth to another woman called Eunice. And Eunice gave birth to Timothy. And from Timothy's birth, it was said that there was prophecies about Timothy. And so, Paul was charging Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. If you notice, verse 18 ends with a semicolon, meaning it's going to tell him how to war the good warfare in the next verse. Are you with me? Then in verse 19, he says, holding faith. Say after me, holding faith. Holding faith. Say it with a loud voice, holding faith. Holding faith. Say it with a loud voice, holding faith. Holding faith. Now remember, the prophecy gives birth to faith. That faith that has been formed in your heart because of what you heard, he said, hold it. That's how to work with prophecy. Hold it, hold it. Hold it. And a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. A man can make shipwreck of his life if he does not hold faith. Are you following me? You can make shipwreck of everything God is doing in your life if you don't hold what God has given to you. That word that came to you, if you don't hold it. Are you with me? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away have made concerning faith shipwreck. This is not the service of me to emphasize good conscience, but good conscience is there. Maybe it will come in later. So how do you hold prophecy? Tell your neighbor, holding faith. Romans 4 verse 20. This was what happened to Abraham. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 verse 20, talking about Abraham, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That means, see, when you are unbelieving, you are staggering at the promise of God. When you are questioning God, how will this thing happen? See, oh my God. How will this thing happen? You are staggering at the promise of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say after me, I believe God. Hey, I want to show you a verse of the Bible, but our time, I will show you. Today, you will hear what? Psalm 78. Thank you, Lord. If you get what I want to show you, you will understand why it is going to be. See, it is an insult to your destiny not to be great. So in Psalm 78, he was talking about the Israelites. I wish I can read everything. I'll try and be fast. So I know what to jump and know what to establish. He says, give ear, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Now jump to verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to them their children, meaning what I will tell them, I want them to tell their children and children's children. Amen. Verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Everybody read verse 8. I might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Read it again. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Jump to verse 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He cleaved the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Everybody read verse 17. Sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God, verse 18. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, and anger also came up against Israel. Verse 22. Because they believe not in God, it is a sin not to believe in God. See, when God is saying, that job I will give you, that thing in your future, you will get it, and you are now saying, Lord, how will it be? And you are questioning God, but God, and you've done one before, but can you do this one? God is saying, if you get to the point where you start doubting his power, you are provoking him, you are tempting God. Do you know how God wants us to talk? Okay, let me give you an example. Do you remember when Jesus was on the boat and there were storms everywhere on the ship? And then they ran to Jesus and said, Master, care us not that we perish. You are sleeping and there is a storm here. Jesus stood up and said, O ye of little faith, how long shall I be with you? My question is, how did he now want them to respond in the first place? How did he want them to respond? If he stood up and said, oh, you of little faith, remember where you're coming from? We're condemned with prophecy by holding faith, right? So if he said, oh, you of little faith, how did he want them to respond? He wanted them to stand up and say, Jesus is here, we are here, this storm can overwhelm us. In fact, he was expecting them to say, because Jesus is here, oh, you storm, stop! He wanted them to be audacious. Tell them you're audacious. Let me tell you something. If you are going to fulfill and contend with prophecy, you have to hold faith like this. That you see that thing that God has said, it must come to pass. It's delaying, no problem. It must come to pass. You know, last week we were talking about Jacob and the angel, how he was contending with the angel. Do you know that? Jacob did not know that there was a problem with his name. Jacob did not know that his name needed change. All his own was that you must bless me and you must bless me now. Then the angel asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. That means God wants us to contend with the word even when it looks like it's not working. Even when it looks like he's reluctant, he wants you to contend. Are you with me? Say after me, I believe God. Say it again, I believe God. Say it again, I believe God. Back to Romans 20. Abraham is staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So how do you condemn a prophecy? Let me break it down now into bits. Number one, get a word from the Lord. And remember the word of the Lord. Either you get a word or you remember what was told you before. Isaiah chapter 34 from verse 16. It says, seek out of the book and read. None of these shall fail. None of these shall lack her mate. He says, seek ye out of the book and read. None of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth had commanded, and his spirit it had gathered them. So every word of the Lord has a command from the Lord not to fail. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 11, it says, for as the rain cometh down from heaven. Start from verse 10, please. As the rain cometh down from heaven and snow from heaven and returneth thither and but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Do you know what it means when he says, my word shall not return unto me void? It means that every word God has spoken in your life that does not yet manifested is still waiting for manifestation. Did you hear what I just said? It means the word cannot go back until it accomplishes what it is supposed to do. Are you with me? Every word, every prophetic word God gave you has not come to pass. Just be content. God has not forgotten. Every after me, God has not forgotten. It means that word they spoke to you 10 years ago. You are going to be the great this. You are going to be this. You are going to be that. As long as it has not happened, it has not gone back. Because it's not return void. Are you with me? After me, it will not return void. It cannot return void. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Say after me, I believe God. So get a word from the Lord and stay with the word of God until it becomes substance to you. Sometimes you need to remember. It's not that God needs to give you a new word. Some of you, you need to remember. You will see 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Don't forget it. Oh, they said this year is our year of quantum leaps. Oh, they said I'm going to be a great businesswoman. I'm going to be this. But Lord, it doesn't look like it. Don't forget. Don't neglect it. Keep on holding on. Tell your neighbor, keep on holding on. Number two, put that word around you continually. Surround yourself with that word. Let it soak you. Let it see. That's why we keep saying New Breed is a mega church. If you like, disagree, don't like it. If you like, be angry. We are a mega church. Are you with me? We reach thousands, hundreds of thousands, are you with me? Millions, hundreds of millions with the gospel. Before Christ comes, there will be no nation in this world that New Breed is not planted in their hundreds of thousands. Put that word around you. When God wanted to help Abraham, he told him, come, your name is Abraham. Abraham means assumed father. Meaning you are not really a father, but we can just assume that you are a father. So he changed it from Abraham to Abraham. So every day they asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is no longer Abraham. My name is Abraham. That means every day he was declaring, I am a father of many nations. I am a father of many nations. His wife, your name is no longer Sarai. Your name is now Sarah. I am a mother of many nations. That means God ensured that every day he was saying what? Are you with me? Every day he was saying the possibility of the future. Every day. That was how God helped his faith. So you will learn to look at yourself and say, I'm not a failure. That's how to contend with prophecy. You have to be speaking contrary to what you are seeing. You will stand up and say, even though there is no money in this pocket, I will give in billions. I don't have a job. Don't worry, I will give people jobs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I will be an employer of labor. I thought some of you would be declaring what I'm saying. I will be an employer of labor. I will send many to school. I will send many to school. In their thousands, I will send many to school. I will build houses and give out. Surround yourself with what the word of God has said. Look at Peter. As long as Peter kept his gaze on Jesus, he was walking on water. But the time he removed his eyes from Jesus and began to look at the waves and the storms, he began to sink. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Whether the devil likes or not, from the 5 plots of land we will buy, we will go to 10 plots. From there to 20 plots. To 30 plots. Are you with me? To 100 acres. To 200 acres. To New Breed City. I remember listening to Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. You know how much I revere him. He said, one day, he stood and looked at the mirror and said, I will preach this gospel and the whole world will hear me. With tears in his eyes. I said, so you have times like that. Everybody you see emerge had a time where they had to contend for it. Am I talking to you? Everybody you see emerge had one time where they had to contend for it. Are you following me? Oh, are you a music person? You will tell yourself, you see this voice, it will resound around the world. I thought some of you would say amen.
Amen.
You will look at that business and say, you see this business, you will export to nations.
Amen.
This small kiosk, you will expand to the nations.
Amen.
People look at you and say, wait till they roll with this guy. This is your bully business. Wait till they worry this guy. No, don't worry. Keep on speaking. Your business is more than bully. Very soon, you will be exporting frozen fish to different nations. They will come and ship it from you. Let me tell you, with the hand of God, anything is possible. I met a millionaire in this country. His business is Gary. His mother sells Gary. He took it on our level. Now, that guy exports Gary to nations in Africa. Say after me, I believe God. So be willing to tell yourself, no, all those nonsense you used to say, all those nonsense, stupid things you say, me, what me like me? No, enough. I am beautiful. I am very beautiful. I will get married to God's man. My husband has sense. He's a blessed man. You, our sisters, you better talk. No, that one say I will still manage him, even if he's like, no, even if, he may not be a serious Christian, he will be a God-fearing man. Loving the Lord.
Serving the Lord.
Not cheating on me.
Very faithful.
Are you following me? Surround yourself with what God has said. Young man, you are struggling to make ends meet. You see, these hands will lend to nations. These hands. That's how God taught Abraham to contend. That's how Abraham was able to get to the point where he staggered not at the promise of God. If you're not talking like that, chances are you are giving up. Number three, prophetic praying. Prophetic praying. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. He says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, by the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that it would accomplish 70 years in the restoration of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What's happening here? Go back to verse 2. So Israel was in bondage in the land of Babylon. And by supernatural coincidence, Daniel was studying and he discovered that Israel was supposed to spend 70 years. And Bible history said he began to pray this prayer when they were 68 years already. So he discovered, we have spent 68 years in this place. Maybe I should start praying about this thing. In the 69th year, they did not even get to 70 years. In the 69th year, a new king came. Cyrus came and freed them. A reverse situation we see in the Bible is the Israelites. God said they will spend 400 years. Are you with me? But at the 400-year mark, there was nobody praying. So extra 30 years was added. There was nobody to descend. This is the time of our release. In fact, God was trying to orchestrate it by Moses. It was, if you study the Bible, you will discover that as at the time when Moses was killing that Egyptian, it was 10 years to the 400-year mark. As at the time when Moses was being moved to begin to fight Egyptians in Egypt, it was 10 years to the 400-year mark. They had spent 390 years, but they did not understand. They were so carried away with their suffering, they forgot prophecy. And so extra 30 years. There's some of you, there's a time in your life you just discover that it's as if there's this pull to pray. You wake up every 3 a.m. What am I doing? Man, I'm going back to sleep. Tomorrow again, you wake up by 2. What am I doing? Why am I waking up? No, wake up. Oh. God is telling you, now something is happening. You don't know if your set time has come. Like I know in the spirit that there is a move of promotions. That's why I will need you to pray. After this teaching, we must pray. God, that thing you have prepared for me, the time has come. I must enter it now. Okay, for instance, when the angel visited Jacob, what if Jacob just said, Angelio, Afana, no worry, eh? Thanks you for visiting by. No. 20 years earlier, the angel came, but he was sleeping. He saw angels where he was, ascending and descending. He said, but this sleep is too sweet, man. God is here and I knew not. Let me sleep more. 20 years later, an angel came again and said, no, I'm not going to sleep. This night, I will hold you down. Some of you, there are repeated seasons like that. A season of prayer. You just feel like fasting. You wake up in the morning. You want to eat. They set the table, but it's as if, I'm not this thing. Leave it first. But always they see this food, I must eat it now. The prayer, God says you pray. You say, no, I must sleep this sleep. Then the devil now, you just arrange rain. Rain will start falling. Rain will start falling. Your fan will become AC. Prophetic praying. Number four, alignment with prophecy. Alignment with prophecy. Are you with me? What do you mean by alignment with prophecy? When do you know that this is the prophetic word over your life? Are you following me? And the time comes for you to make a decision in that line. Don't hold back. Ah, my God. This one, eh? Ensure that you see this prophetic word over my life. The time has come. I'm supposed to do this and I will do it. Hey. Don't go in the opposite direction and say, okay, if there's a prophetic word to come to pass, that may be the end. Let me give an example. So, Jesus was born, right? And shortly after he was born, wise men came to see him. And then Herod was planning to kill him. And then the angel appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, take the young child and escape. Go to Egypt. You can see that in Matthew 2 from verse 13. He says, go and be in Egypt and I will bring thee word. Because Herod will seek to destroy this young child. Now, the prophetic word over Jesus was that he will save us from our sins, right? That was what the angel told Mary. No, Mary would have said, must we go? He's not the Savior. He's the Savior now. We will first of all start by saving us. So, we are not going anywhere. We are here. They will kill the child. God will still be God. So, alignment. So, as you grow and walk with prophecy, there will be certain things God will be asking you to do. There will be things in step and in tandem with that prophecy. For instance, like I always said, if Joseph fell for fornication with Potiphar's wife, we would not have known. We will not have known. He may have just ended up as a baker in Potiphar's house. They would have been hailing him like, Kai, man, you are the chief baker. And he will believe that, man, this is my destiny. But every day in that house, he will be remembering, I saw 11 stars bow down to me. These 11 stars are not these bakers in this house. It's stars I saw. I saw the moon. I saw the sun. Well, but I'm a chief baker. No problem. Are you following me? You have to take steps in tandem. Steps that align to that prophetic word. Ah, my God. I'm tempted to talk about myself, but I don't know how it will sound. No, when the Lord was calling me, if you know how many, by the grace of God, those of you are close to me, I'm not a dullard. I think it's not too a stretch to say God gave me brain. As at when God was saying, leave everything and go into ministry, I had 5 job offers. 2 in this country, 3 in this country, 2 outside this country. 5. So I was going to now ask myself, will I fulfill prophecy or will I fulfill comfort? Are you getting me? You are a businessman. You have been doing this business for a while. All of a sudden, God opens a door for you to go and work with somebody or a connection somewhere. and God has shown you that this kind of, this is the line of business I want you to be doing. Then at the same time, your friend just say, Kai, we have one, is it weekend getaway? Can you join us to Cyprus? Let's just go and relax. Let's just go and chill. He said, don't worry, all expense paid trip. You just go and, but there is prophecy in your front. The business opportunity is in your front. Don't worry, it'll come again. Let's go. You go and see Shalaye, they call it in Lagos. You finish Shalaye, when you come back. Are you following what I'm saying? And if you are sincere, everybody, when you are at the verge of prophecy, God will be telling you, now is the time. This thing is, now is the time. Move. Your spirit man, some of you will be having dreams. That season, you'll be having dreams, all kinds of dreams. Are you following me? Okay, let me go on. Alignment with prophecy. Praise the Lord. Some of you, there's a certain line that you are, maybe you are a music person. God will start pushing you, okay. You say you have been doing this, go and start singing. Enter the studio, do like this, do like that. Prayer is important, but now start acting. Do like this, do like that. You say, hey, must I? I don't have money. Start. Start. Are you following me? Tell your neighbor, start. In tandem with prophecy, start. Let it be that you have started and nobody has patronized you. But not that people have come to patronize you and you have not started. Everybody's telling you, this is your food business. You can cook. You know that God has, you know it in your spirit that I'm supposed to be doing this thing. You can cook. Say, don't worry, one day, I thank you, one day. Am I talking to you? Finally, how do you contend with prophecy? Determination. You see here, determination is proof that you believe God. Do you remember that time when David's family and David's city was attacked in 1 Samuel chapter 30? 1 Samuel chapter 30, you will see the story there. Ziklag was attacked. And the men began to cry. They cried so much because their wives and children were even carried away. And then David said, God, what shall we do? And the prophet said to him, pursue, overtake, recover all. Pursue. Determination. Oh, this is your business you started. Everywhere you have gone to, you said, God told me to start this business. But everywhere I've gone to, they told me no. I submit one here, they say no. You submit another one here, they say no. You applied here, they say no. You applied, they say, we are pleased to inform you. We are sorry to inform you that your application can no longer be continued with. You apply here, they say, at the point you start asking yourself, what is going on? Remember the word of the Lord. Pursue. Are you with me? Pursue. Determination. Psalm 27 verse 13. Look at what David said. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Meaning, I was about giving up, but I chose to believe. I know you have tried everything, but don't stop trying. Are you with me? Don't stop trying. Don't stop trying. Imagine you were the apostles. After you went to preach somewhere, they came and flogged you. Then arrested you. I know some people, they will say, I don't do again. Praise the Lord. It says, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord. I'm just trying to read scriptures that can inspire determination. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. You say, I believe God. For instance, like me, you cannot, there is nothing, even if all of you did not come for this service, Pastor David, I will still preach this preaching, Tomorrow, next week's service, anywhere I'm supposed to be, whether Abuja, Port Harcourt, Lagos, I will still be there. And I will still preach. You can't discourage. At this point, so I'm so discouraged. People did not, the hall was not full. Me, Jesus, I will preach to you. You've not seen anything. Discourage me. You can't. You cannot discourage me. How will you discourage me? You will be discouraged in trying to discourage me. Hey, God. The first meeting I held in Port Harcourt, when this church was about to start, I remember one of the first major programs I announced. I announced the program. I made you sandwich. Well, great. That's when I knew that it's not food that brings people to church. It's God. I announced that we have prepared. Guess what? Nobody came. That program, nobody came. I prayed in tongues for 3 hours. I wore my white and white. I remember then, I like to wear white strad with bishop neck. I wore the white like this. Le kabala kabala tabarabasata. 1 hour. Jabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabar third hour. Pray the... I say, Father, we thank you for a great meeting. I went, I packaged that thing to the road. Every child I saw, God bless you. God bless you. Made sure I couldn't finish it. I shared it everywhere. Next week, I had another one. That one, five people came. I said, hey. You can't discourage me. Tell me about determination. And as I close, I will end with this story. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. 2 Kings 13, verse 14 to 19. The Bible says, now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take a bow. King James says, take bow. Write that one in English. You fail. He said, take a bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. Everybody read on verse 17. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. Then Elisha said, shoot! Tell your neighbor, shoot! And he shot, and he said, the Lord, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. I thought you would shout glory. Now, listen, oh, listen. Go back. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. This was what? The prophecy. So the prophecy was that you will consume them completely, right? See the next verse. Read with me. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smote thrice. And stayed. Verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him, meaning was angry. And he said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. When thou had smitten Syria, then thou had smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I thought he just told him in the earlier part that he will consume Syria completely. That means, oh my God. Listen. That means, even though God has said this is what you would do, there is some level of determination and stretching required for it to happen. For it to happen the exact way God said it, you have to shoot more than once. Please, am I talking to you? You have to shoot more than 3 times, Seth. So that is why sometimes the prophecy comes to pass, but not exactly the way God said it because people don't stretch enough. Am I talking to you? So you will now know that if you pray today, you will still pray tomorrow. Are you following me? You will still pray next tomorrow. Are you following me? You will do 3 times. You will do 4 times. Me, I will do 10 times. So I will smite that. Hey, God. I will smite that ground 15 times. Is the prophet that will tell me you do. Let the prophet tell me you too do. Are you following me? There are some of you, okay, you felt that urge to fast. Start fasting. After 3 days, don't stop. continue till when you feel the peace inside of you. Because you don't know what that thing is addressing. Are you following me? It says, because you did it only 3 times, you will defeat them 3 times. Determination. So quickly, as we round up, let's go over it again. How do you contend with prophecy? Number one, get a word from the Lord and remember the word of the Lord, right? Number two, surround yourself with the word continually. Number three, prophetic praying. Are you ready to pray this morning? Prophetic praying. Number four, alignment with prophecy. Number five, determination. Hey, God. Be strong in the Lord. Determination is a key to faith, too. I remember meeting a man of God. Some of you may know him, some of you may not know him. Some OGs who know him. Reverend Abraham Ojeme. There was a time he had an accident. A man of God. He had an accident and broke his 2 legs. He had an accident and did what? Broke his 2 legs. He went to preach on his way coming back. He had an accident and his 2 legs were broken. And then he was inclined to the wheelchair. He hardly comes to church. When he comes to church, they will wheel him to church. So one day, he said, you see this wheelchair? Enough is enough. So what does he do? He will wheel the wheelchair to the church. He will wheel the chair, wheel himself. And he will get to the church and say, God, you built this church. I was there when this church was nothing, but you built this church. You that built this church, you can build my leg. Ah, God. You don't know. See, determination, eh? Ah, God. God. You that built this church, you can repair my leg. And when it's done, he will wheel himself back. He will wheel himself back. And that day, he will come again. He kept on doing it and doing it until one day. After wheeling himself there, he discovered that he just felt he had strength. He stood up. he took another step. People were started shouting, don't hold him, let him not follow. He said, he let me fall, I will stand up. He kept on walking. After a while, they saw him wheeling the chair back. Determination, even in faith, determination. Some of you have heard me share this story. Pastor Chris, I once had a daughter that was crippled. How many of you have heard me share this story? He once had a daughter that was crippled. She was walking one day and fell and stopped walking. And then he prayed, they confessed, they spoke in tongues, nothing. In the name of Jesus, nothing. Went to the doctor. The doctor said there's no problem with her. It's just that she cannot walk again. Ha! Just like that. Guess what they started doing? Then him and his wife, he said, in the morning, you will look at your daughter and say, you will walk, you will run, you will jump. They did that thing for almost 2 years every day. Before she eats, they will declare. After she eats, they will declare. In the evening, before she sleeps, they will declare. This leg, you will walk. See, tell your neighbor, you need spine. Tell another person, you need determination. He says, you will walk, you will run, you will walk. Do you know what it means? You will walk, you will run every day. Every day, morning, afternoon, evening, every day. 1 year, you are still saying you will walk, you will run, you will walk. See, that is how to believe God. When you say, God, if your word said it, are you following me? And after almost 2 years, one day, it at a point, according to the story, when we were sharing the Higher Life Conference 2009 in Port Harcourt, according to the story, a time came, you will walk, you will run, you will jump. At the point, everyone said, you walk, run, jump. You walk, run, jump. You know the way bus conductors in Lagos, they say, oh, show you, but they want to squeeze everything in one syllable. Oh, show you, beg, you leg, ah! Okay. You will walk, you will run, you will jump. You will walk, rock, run, jump. You will rock. And they were just declaring, you will walk. And at a point, you know when you are doing something, let's just keep doing it. Let's just be doing it. Then one day, they were going to church. Usually, they would come and open for her, put her on her own wheelchair or crutches. Then that day, as they were coming to open for her, auntie opened door and just ran. And just ran. Determination. So are you ready to pray with determination? Are you ready to make declarations with determination? Jump on your feet.